Proverbs 13, verses 2 and 3, and verse 5. From the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. In verse 5, the righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace.
Amen, amen.
Let's ask God to help us as we think about these verses. Father, thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we confess that you are the all-wise God, and in Christ are all the treasures and riches of wisdom and knowledge. And so, God, we ask that you would be with us now as we dive into these truths about how you care deeply about our words and our tongues and our mouths and what comes out of them, Father. And we ask, O Lord, that you would change our hearts so that what comes out of our mouths would always be pleasing in your sight. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our mouths, our tongues, our words are very important to God. Maybe some of you children have heard this phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And I want you to know that that phrase is from the devil. Did you know that? A lot of the cute little proverbs that we hear are actually demonic. Like, God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And see, they cannot help themselves. And sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me is a lie. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there is power in our words. There's another proverb that says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that does not mean that we speak things into existence.
Amen.
It means we hurt people very badly with our mouth, or we can encourage and help people spring to life with the words that we speak. Only God spoke things into existence.
Yes, ma'am.
But there is power in the tongue.
Amen.
To hurt, to harm, to build up, to break down, to destroy people's reputations. There's power in the words that we speak to harm or help people. Ray Ortland has a wonderful book on the book of Proverbs, and he writes, the book of Proverbs has more to say about our words than anything else it addresses in our lives. More than money, more than sex, and more than family. So these proverbs, they care about, God cares about our words. What you say, what you speak is a mirror of what's in your heart. What you say is a reflection of what is in your heart. Jesus taught us this. Once when Jesus was speaking to these wicked Pharisees, these religious leaders who were perverting the good news of Jesus and dismissing Jesus as a false teacher, Jesus spoke to these Pharisees in Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37, and he said this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, listen to the importance Jesus Christ puts on the words that we speak. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And I would add, every careless word you tweet, every careless word you post on Facebook or whatever social media preference you have, you will give an account for every word. So this is important to God. This is important that we think about this. And sometimes you read that and you just want to sew them shut. You just want to sew them shut. And it, as we'll see in these Proverbs, sometimes it's best that we just put our hands on our mouths. But let's think about this together, our words that we speak. We want to have pleasing words, and we see that this is a heart matter. We know ultimately we need changed hearts. We need to be born again. We need the new life of Jesus in us so that we can speak true and godly and righteous words. And so we're going to talk about this together this morning. Point number one, God-pleasing words sustain and satisfy. God-pleasing words sustain and satisfy. Look again at verse 2. From the fruit of his mouth a man eats what is good. And so words here are compared to fruit in this proverb. And not only fruit, but good fruit. Good fruit. Think of your favorite fruit. I'm thinking of peaches and strawberries and dip them in chocolate and that makes them even better. Good fruit. Words are compared to this fruit. And the fruits of your mouth are your good words. And you eat them and others will eat them. And so what does good fruit do for you or for anyone else? Well, one thing it does, it sustains you. It sustains you, nourishes you, gives you life. The fruit of your mouth also sustains you. Fruit gives you needed nourishment. The physical fruit that we eat gives us nourishment. It gives you the nutrients and the vitamins and the energy that you need to survive and live and breathe. And in the same way, good, godly, righteous, kind, loving, encouraging words sustain others. And help others live the life that God calls them to live if they listen to those good words and put them into practice. And so we are called, brothers and sisters, as Christians, to love one another with our words in that way, such that our words sustain and nourish one another and help one another follow Jesus Christ. We're to do that for one another. Our good words that we speak to one another are to sustain us. And when you do this, when you speak these good fruit words and help others grow spiritually, did you know that you benefit as well? By loving others well with your good words, you are nourished and you are sustained. Because it's your joy to help others follow Jesus as a Christian. You are nourished and strengthened by knowing you're helping others follow Christ with your words. It's one of the reasons we ought to love to give away good books. We're helping nourish others and strengthen others with the good words of God to help one another follow Christ. Jesus, that the disciples ask him once in John 4, "You need to eat, Rabbi." And he says, "I have food to eat of which you do not know. My food is to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus spoke these glorious words and he ate them and they satisfied him. He didn't need physical food at that time. His food was to do the will of God. Friends, when you do the will of God, it is your sustenance. It sustains you. The fruit of your mouth not only sustains, but it satisfies. Fruit not only gives nourishment that you might live, but it satisfies you. It tastes good. You eat that fruit and, yes, that was good. It brings you joy, brings you pleasure. And in the same way, good, godly, righteous, kind, loving, encouraging words, they satisfy others and give joy and pleasure to others. And friends, this is true, again, not only for those who receive those words, but for you who speak them. By loving others well with your words, you are satisfied and you receive joy and pleasure. Again, because you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you delight to bring joy to others with Godward words that point them to Jesus and help them follow Christ. That is your joy. Sometimes people ask me, why can't I say this word or that word? A swear word, a curse word. Ephesians 4:29. God says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Ray Ortland wrote this: "One of the ways Janie, his wife, and I pray while driving to church every Sunday morning is, 'Lord, don't let one word come out of our mouths that isn't of You. Let every word we speak be of You. We want every word to be a blessing. Will You join us in praying that way as you drive or walk to church? Good words make people glad in Christ. And when the whole church does that together, it starts feeling like revival." And so may we pray like that. Before we speak, may we pray, "God, let me be a blessing. Let me speak what is true, what is right, what is biblical, what is godly, what is going to build my brother or sister up, what is going to help them walk with Jesus." Also in verse 2, we see that God denying desires lead to violence. So on the flip side of the coin, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Some translations say, "Eat violence." Again, we saw Jesus say in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Well, out of the abundance of the heart desires. And evil men desire violence. They eat violence. And they speak violently. And the way that they speak stirs up violence in others. They provoke others and they stir up violence. What does it mean to be treacherous? This proverb says the desire of the treacherous is for violence. What does it mean to be treacherous? Well, the same Hebrew word is used in Psalm 119:158. "I look at the faithless." It's translated "faithless" there. "With disgust, because they do not keep Your commands." And so the treacherous are people who are faithless. They don't trust God. They don't look to God. They don't treasure God. They don't hope in God. And they do not keep God's commands. Jeremiah 9:2 uses this word. Jeremiah 9:2 says, "Oh, that I had in the desert a traveler's lodging place that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterous, all adulterers, a company of treacherous men." And so treacherous men are coupled with adulterers, those who are unfaithful, unfaithful to God, unfaithful to their spouse. Proverbs 11:6 says, "The righteous of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lusts." And so it contrasts the righteous person with the treacherous. These treacherous ones, they have desires for violence. They eat violence. Friends, do you ever speak violent and hurtful words? You realize that we can abuse one another. We as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are not the treacherous. We have been delivered from our treacherousness, but sometimes we let the old man get the better hand. And so we speak violent words. We provoke one another with harmful words. We abuse our spouse, our husband, our wife, with words that we say just to get under their skin and make them angry and put them down and make them feel bad. Parents can lose their temper with their children and abuse their children with their words and speak violent and harmful words. We get angry with others around us and we speak things that we say we don't mean. And sometimes I think we need to realize, no, I meant it all too much. And it shows what's really in my heart, and I need to repent and ask God to forgive me and change my heart and my mouth. God even warns fathers of this in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yes, parents, we must discipline our children, but we should not do it in anger. If you're angry, step aside, calm yourself down, and pray to the Lord that you will then give proper discipline, which may be painful for the child, but do it in control, not in anger, in love and righteousness. We lose our tempers, don't we?
Yes.
We lose our tempers. And Jesus said this in Matthew 5:21-22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So there's a comparison here between murderers and those who are angry. Friends, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that you have broken the commandments that Brother Michael read to us. You have broken God's laws. You have committed adultery. You have lied. You have stolen. You have blasphemed God by the way that you spoke of Him, using His name in vain. You have been violent with your words. You have been angry. You're an angry person, and you've spoken and hurt others with your words. Friend, if that's you and you have not trusted in Christ, we want you to come to Him today. We want you to know that there's a Savior who saves from the hell of fire. Hell is real. It is a real place where God will judge sinners forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus spoke of hell more than anyone else in the Bible. To deny hell is to deny Jesus. And we deserve hell. We deserve hell for the words that we've spoken. Friends, isn't that a scary thought that Jesus said on the day of judgment, you will give an account for every idle word. But friends, the good news of the gospel is we have a Savior from hell. We have a Jesus who came into the world and spoke only what is true, only what is good, only what is righteous. He gave the most sumptuous fruit out of His mouth that sustains like no other, nourishes like no other, satisfies and gives pleasure like no other. No man spoke like this man. Perfectly obedient, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, perfectly loving, perfectly speaking whatever He spoke, whenever He spoke. And yet, He took that hell of fire that I deserve for my wicked mouth and my wicked heart. He took that hell of fire. He took the wrath of God upon Himself on the cross. He suffered God's judgment, God's curse. All the wicked things I've ever spoken or you've ever spoken, if you believe in Him, were counted as if He spoke them. And the Father crushed Him on the tree, buried. But on the third day, He rose from the dead, which is why we're here today and not yesterday. This is why we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday, because He busted the tomb wide open. He conquered sin and death and hell. And we are here every week to say, He is risen, He is Lord, He is King, He is God, and He is Savior from my filthy mouth. He's Savior. And so I can stand in confidence on the day of judgment, knowing the filthy things I've spoken in my past, knowing that He died for me and rose again. I can stand in confidence and say, my only hope is Jesus. Not what I've spoken, Lord. Not my sermons. Only Jesus is my hope. Not the good words I've spoken, Lord. I only lean on Christ. Only Jesus. One brother said, if you add anything to the gospel, you lose everything in the gospel. Friend, if you are here this morning and you think that by your good life you are commending yourself to God, I don't care how much you've done, how many people you've won to Jesus, how many homeless you've fed, how many people you've taken in off the street, I don't care what you've done, it is not enough to get you to heaven. Only Jesus is good enough to get you to heaven. Only Jesus saves from the wrath to come. Only Jesus spoke well enough to earn heaven for all of us who repent and trust in Him. Friends, you've got to get this. This is the gospel. You cannot do anything. You can simply trust Him. You can simply believe on Him. That's our only hope. And that means it's free to everyone. That means it's free to everyone because it doesn't matter what you've done or how long you've done it. If you come to Christ, repent, and believe in Him, you can be saved. You can be forgiven. And so come to Him. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It doesn't say believe and do this and this and this and this and that and that and that and that. It says believe. Full stop. Believe. Believe, believe, believe. Faith alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Would you believe Him today? Friend, if you're here and you're not a believer, we're pleading with you, come to Christ today. Believe in Him today. Trust in Him today and He will save you. I will be at the back or next door afterwards. Come and speak to me about this. We want all of you to know Jesus and follow Him. And friends, when you trust in Him, He puts His Spirit in you and then enables you to speak the way you ought to speak. And when you mess up, guess what? You're still going to mess up as a Christian. You're still not going to speak perfect words like Jesus when you become a Christian. But you're forgiven. You're forgiven. There's no condemnation. And so you mess up and you say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for this and change me and help me to hate it more and clean my mouth out and help me do better next time. But friend, you're forgiven as a Christian. There's no condemnation because Jesus died for you and rose for you and His Spirit is at work in you to help you speak what is true and holy and righteous. And so the next point is guarding your mouth preserves your life. And in Christ you will guard your mouth and your life will be preserved. Look at verse 3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Friends, sometimes people say things that can get them killed. Sometimes people say things that get them killed because they provoke so much. We're to guard our mouth. We say things that ruin relationships with one another. Guard your mouth. We say things that don't bring peace but bring division. We say things that don't foster unity but divide. Friends, guard your mouth. And your life will be preserved. Psalm 39:1, the psalmist says, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. And he prays in Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a great prayer for us to pray. Lord, guard my mouth. Father, guard my mouth even as I preach. Let me not say anything untrue, unhelpful, unwise, unbiblical. Guard my mouth with this hard conversation I've got to have this afternoon. If you have a hard conversation, that's a great prayer. Lord, guard my mouth. Amen. And we also see in verse 3 that talking too much ruins your life. He opens wide his lips, comes to ruin. Too often we open our lips and sin with our tongues. We gossip. We talk about things that we don't know are true or factual. We pass them on because everyone loves the juiciness of he said, she said. We give unloving criticism. We have unkind speech. We grumble and complain. When God, our King, says do everything without grumbling and complaining. We put others down to make ourselves feel better. People reveal their wicked, racist, sinful hearts when they use racial slurs or tell racial jokes. Abomination to God. Abomination to God. We sin with our lips. We sin with our mouths. And some of us simply talk too much. We just talk too much, and often it's about ourselves. This proverb says, he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Comes to ruin. Ruin. What is ruin? Ruin is lost relationships. Alienation. Division. Church splits. As Ortland said, it only takes two people to split a church. One to gossip and one to listen and prolong it. Financial loss. We come to ruin. Health problems. We come to ruin. Spiritual ruin. We speak things. We open wide our lips and say things and have hardness of heart. We keep going in that direction. And for the unrepentant, ruin means hell. For the unrepentant, those who don't finally turn and trust in Christ for forgiveness, ruin means everlasting torment under God's wrath in hell forever and ever. Friends, the Bible warns us about how we open our mouths. Ecclesiastes 5:2, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Friends, may we be careful with our words. Beloved, may we be careful when we open our mouths. And finally, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Look at verse 5. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Bruce Waltke, a wonderful commentator on the book of Proverbs, says this, the person whose lips produce and eat good fruit, who protects his life through discreet speech, and who through diligence has every appetite satisfied, is now defined as a righteous person. The righteous person thirsts for God and finds Him. Because the righteous person loves the Lord, and the Lord hates lying lips, the Lord delights in faithfulness, and the Lord values people, and people are best served by truth. Therefore, the righteous person hates with a passion any false word. Amen. The righteous hate what is false. And so the righteous person loves truth because God is a God of truth, and the righteous love God, and therefore they love truth. So we, as followers of Jesus, ought to be truth lovers and truth promoters and people who pass on truth and people who, when we are in the presence of falsehood being passed around, say, you should stop that. You should stop talking about that person. Oh, let's go talk to them and have them right here when we have this conversation. You should stop it from happening because you hate falsehood. And you love truth. 1 Timothy 1:8-11. God the Spirit makes clear several sins that are against Him and are breaking the law of God and are not in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Listen to these words. Now we know that the law is good. We just heard the law read. If one uses it lawfully, understand this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, wicked to enslave someone, liars are listed there in the same category with enslavers, sexually immoral, homosexuality, liars. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Friends, are there lies that you're living in? This morning, are there lies that you are living in? Are there lies that you are perpetuating? Lies that you're speaking to a husband or a wife? Lies that you are speaking? Friend, repent. God's word this morning is that the righteous hate falsehood. But the wicked, those who speak lies, the wicked bring shame and disgrace. Living a life of lies will bring shame and disgrace. And as we've seen, ultimately, if there's no repentance, will lead to the lake of fire. And God loves you this morning. He loves liars. He loves those. He loves sinners. That's why he ordained that this be covered today. You're here today and you're caught in lies. And He loves you so much that he's like He loved David. He loved David so much He sent Nathan to call him out on his adultery and murder. Friends, calling people out about their sin is loving. When you do it with love in your heart and not condescension but care for people's soul, it's loving that God calls us out on our sin. If you have spiritual leaders in your life that are bold and loving enough to get in your face when you sin, that's loving. Just letting people go their own way and end up in the lake of fire. I don't want to say anything to him because that will offend him and he won't be my friend anymore. And I'll just let him go to the lake of fire. That's not love. That's not love. No. God loves us enough to warn us. Loves us enough to warn us and give us a gospel that knows that no matter how much you've lied, how many lies you've told, maybe you're 99 years old and you've told 50 lies every day. Friends, there's salvation in Jesus. I don't care how bad you've been, how much you've lied, how much your life is one big lie. You can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because again, friends, I want to teach you to read every Bible verse and think of Jesus. I mean, think of these Proverbs this morning. Verse 2, from the fruit of his mouth a man eats what is good. Friend, there has never been a man like Jesus who gives fruit that is so delicious and amazing and glorious and sustaining and satisfying and pleasure-giving. He spoke like no man ever spoke. And friends, if you eat his words, you will be saved. If you eat his words, you will be saved no matter how much you've lied, how wicked your words have been. For he said that this came out of his mouth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, liars, adulterers, murderers, perjurers, perverts, whosoever, who is kept out of whosoever? Nobody. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a sweet fruit right there. That's a sweet fruit for those of us who are sinners and know it and know we need a Savior. No one spoke like him, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Jesus was the furthest away from anyone in treachery. He was faithful, not faithless. He was loving and faithful and good and kind and righteous and holy. And he did not desire violence. And yet the full measure of violence was cast upon him. We deserve the violence that God pours out towards sinners because we have broken God's commandments. But the Father loves us so much, he took his wrath and the violence that we deserve and poured it out on his one beloved Son. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Jesus guarded his mouth like no other. He never spoke when he shouldn't have spoken. And he always spoke exactly the right way, the right time, the right moment, the right words. He guarded his mouth perfectly, and yet his life was not preserved. Again, this helps you read the Proverbs rightly. They're not meant to be read as promises that always work out. Jesus guarded his mouth, and his life was not preserved. He was killed because he guarded his mouth, and when he spoke the right words in the right time in the right way. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Jesus never opened wide his lips in a wrong, unrighteous way, and yet he did come to ruin. For you and me, for sinners, he came to ruin. He was ruined on that tree. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Jesus was the righteous of the righteous. No one righteous like Jesus. He hated falsehood like no one else. And yet, he took our shame. He took our disgrace. All of our lies were counted as his lies, though he knew no lie. And God crushed him. He was shamed. He was stripped naked, laughed at, scorned, spit on, crown of thorns on his head, beaten so badly, the Bible tells us, that you couldn't even recognize he was a human being. He was disgraced for all of our sin. And then he rose up on the third day. He rose again. He's alive. And he stands here this morning freely offering forgiveness to all who would come to him. All who would believe in him. And friend, if you've trusted in him, you can be sure. You can be sure there is no condemnation for you because of your words. Because Jesus paid it all. You can be sure that Jesus is with you. That his Spirit lives in you. That he will change your mouth, change your words. That he will empower you to speak what is good and righteous and holy and good. And in this walk, this Christian life, when you mess up and fall and say something you shouldn't have said, maybe you said something you shouldn't have said on the way to church this morning, friends, you have hope that he will not leave you nor forsake you. But you can go to him right now and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for the way I talked to my wife this morning. Forgive me for the way I talked to my husband. Forgive me for the way I lost my temper with the children. Forgive me and cleanse me, Jesus. And get me up and help me. Help me live for your glory now as I've never had before by the way that I speak. Friends, Christ's mouth produces greatest fruits. He hates what's false, and lies he all refutes. Yet ruined was his life by brutes. For on that cross, God executes his only Son to kill sin's roots. But now our risen King recruits. He's recruiting. He's recruiting right now. He's recruiting his righteousness to us imputes. When you believe on the Lord Jesus, God counts his righteousness as yours. And there's no condemnation. And you have his Spirit to speak what is true and righteous and loving. Let's pray now that God would help us do that more and more. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you speak into every detail of our lives, even concerning what we speak and how we use our mouths. God, we confess that you are our King. And God, we want to bring every part of our being, every thought, every action, every feeling, every word, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And God, we pray that you would do that now in us. Make us more like Jesus in the way that we speak, Lord. Make us better encouragers of one another. Make us more thankful people and express that thankfulness more vocally. Make us people of the truth. Make us people who have the boldness enough to say that is not true and you should stop that. God, help us to be truth tellers, truth lovers. Father, clean up our hearts, clean up our mouths, and make us more like Christ, we pray. And Father, if there are those here who are living a lie or have rejected Christ or never trusted Jesus or think they've trusted Christ and never have, we pray that today would be the day that they come to faith in Jesus. And so God, save and heal and glorify your name today, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.